This is Morgan Beatty speaking for Alka-Seltzer, bringing you News of the World Night Special. Tonight, International, America and Russia complete their cases before the bar of world opinion. New York, Henry Wallace says we're on the road to war. Rome, the tide swings west in Italy. San Francisco, lady, where did you get that hat? Those are the headlines. I'll be back in a moment with News of the World.
Are you caught with a cold? Is someone in your family miserable with this distressing ailment? Well, if so, get a large-size package of Alka-Seltzer from your druggist and start right in on the Alka-Seltzer ABC Cold Comfort Treatment. See how much better it helps you feel.
A, Alka-Seltzer.
Take Alka-Seltzer for fast relief from the ache-all-over feverish misery of a cold. Read the directions on colds given on the Alka-Seltzer package.
B, be wise.
Beware of drafts. Avoid wet feet. Get more rest than usual.
C, comfort.
Comfort the raspy sore throat caused by your cold. Gargle with Alka-Seltzer. Dissolve 2 Alka-Seltzer tablets in a quarter glass of warm water and gargle freely until relieved. Well, there it is, friends. Alka-Seltzer's ABC Cold Comfort Treatment. Get some Alka-Seltzer from your druggist and try it if you have a cold. Let Alka-Seltzer help you feel better fast. Always have a 30 or 60 cent size package of Alka-Seltzer on hand. Or better yet, 2 packages. For an extra package on the side, keeps a family well supplied. Now, Alka-Seltzer brings you the noted commentator, author, and reporter, Morgan Beatty.
In Italy, it's against religious custom and tradition to make political speeches on Good Friday before Easter. The communists of Italy, be it noted, observed the custom, even though all religion is contrary to their tradition and their custom. There are significant deductions to draw from this fact, and they're not limited to Italy. The deductions on the Italian scene will be made for us in a few minutes by direct report from our European news director, Henry Cassidy. The deductions on the broader field of world politics are clear, and we tackle them now. They're clear on the basis of tonight's news. In the first order of importance is the fact that the case of the Western world against Soviet Russia is now complete, and the case of the Russians is complete against us for world opinion to judge. And unfortunately for Americans, who must make up their minds in the months ahead on these vital issues, both the Soviets and ourselves claim the same arguments, the identical arguments. Our case is stated in its latest form, post-Czechoslovakia, by a State Department note to Russia today. In that document, our Assistant Secretary of State Norman Armour charges the Russians are suppressing the Socialist Party in Eastern Germany by forcing that party to merge with the Communist Party into a Socialist Unity Party. This new party, says Mr. Armour, has become the new bulwark for a totalitarian regime in Eastern Germany, while other authorized political parties have been subjected to pressures, discrimination, intimidation, and have not been enabled to function freely. Basic human rights, says Mr. Armour, are being denied the population, while concentration camps are being used anew for individuals unwilling to accept this new totalitarianism. It is the unilateral policy of the Soviet Union, he said, which has cut off Eastern Germany from its natural intercourse, political and economic, with Western Germany. The Soviet government, he concluded, widening the horizon of the disagreement, and a group of Eastern European states under Soviet influence have disrupted the normal framework of the European community and interfered with the progress of recovery from the effects of war. While this note was speeding by Soviet radio code to the Kremlin tonight, Anna Pocher, the communist foreign minister of the Sovietized Romania, was stating part of the Soviet case. Madame Pocher told an election campaign meeting that Romanians must shake off those who frighten them every day with talk of war, those who tell them that happiness on earth will come through one world government, namely that of Truman and Marshall. Tito of Yugoslavia, another robot from Moscow, spoke to a group of Italians in Belgrade, Yugoslavia. He said the Western world's offer of Trieste to Italy was a new, very strange election trick, which is designed to prevent the democratic forces from defending their liberty and independence. The offer was made in clear violation of the Italian peace treaty, said Tito. There you have the completed cases. Soviet Russia accuses Truman and Marshall and Wall Street of dividing Europe and driving toward war. We accuse the Soviets of being arbitrary rulers of 200 million people. They're pouncing like vultures on a confused world to fasten their own rule on that world, and they're willing to trample on all human rights to do so. Witness Czechoslovakia. Where lies the weight of evidence? Who's guilty? Who's innocent? We must assume that no state is ever wholly innocent, but the weight of truth could be indicated by a minor event in Prague, Czechoslovakia, today. Their famous Charles University will mark its 600th anniversary on April the 1st, or 4th. Only the old rector, Professor Carl English, is gone, and in his place is a loyal communist. As a result, many universities outside Czechoslovakia have refused to send representatives to honor Fabulous Charles University in its new ideological dress. So have many world-famous scholars refused to come to receive degrees now that regimented ideas are to be taught. The burden of proof against the Soviet way, therefore, would seem to be strong. The weight of evidence in our favor would seem to be stronger. We in America have political contenders, however, who tend to accept part, at least, of the Soviet case. One of them is Henry Wallace. Without prejudice, one way or the other, we now present two paragraphs from a radio speech he gave earlier tonight. First, the war theme. Here's Mr. Wallace recorded.
The President of the United States, his admirals, generals, and Wall Street advisors are all pushing to get the nation ready for war. Systematically, they have disregarded the United Nations. They killed UNRWA and disregarded the United Nations European Economic Commission in planning aid for Europe. And now, at the very moment when President Truman says he will support the United Nations, he stabs it in the back with the Palestine partition betrayal and with the use of Trieste as an election bribe.
Second, the Wallace case against our government in Italy. Mr. Wallace again recorded.
In Italy, the Truman Doctrine of bribe and threaten can have the most disastrous results. This may be the last chance to halt the Cold War before it becomes a hot war. To act for peace at this late date in Italy, there is just one thing to emphasize: respect for the Italian Constitution and democratic elections. No economic sanctions. If the election goes right, hands off. If it goes left, hands off. If we really believe in democracy, we will furnish economic aid to Italy, no matter how the election comes out.
At this point, may we stress, this is not all of Mr. Wallace's speech. The American Free Press will print it. You'll find it in your library. The American Free Radio has already carried it. But what about affairs in critical Italy, where East and West are on trial? Let's get a direct report. Here's Henry Cassidy in Rome.
The Communist Party of Italy has just admitted, unofficially but nonetheless significantly, it will not win the election here April 18th. The Rome evening newspaper La Repubblica, which gives the Communist line, says, in spite of all interference, the front, meaning the Communist and Socialist combination, is bound to get what it calls a net relative majority of 40% to 45%. The interesting point about this is that until now, the Communists have always claimed an absolute majority, and this is the first time they have acknowledged they may get less than 51%. People who know Italy well tell me even this estimate is optimistic, and the vote for the Communist coalition is more likely to be between 30 and 40%, leaving the left in a distinct minority in parliament and out of the government. The lower estimate is based on a number of small but important indications, like the vote for workers' delegates to the management committee of a Northern Arms factory. Previously communist, that plant went right-wing socialist. Today, in the arcades on the famous Piazza Colonna, the Columbus Circle of Rome, I listen to the soapbox orators and I watch their audience. And there, where the rightists used to be shouted down, the communists were being jeered with the chant in English of the Volga Boatman song. This turn in Italian opinion is attributed to the many gestures that the Western powers have made of friendship to the present middle-of-the-road government of this country, above all, the offer to return Trieste to Italy. And further gestures of that kind are expected here before the Italians go to the polls. This is Henry Cassidy in Rome.
With Easter just around the clock, let's get a preview from Ruth Anderson in San Francisco.
California is winning a battle of hats with Paris. The American woman has snubbed the decree of the high priest of fashion that she must wear a tiny pillbox to complete her new look. Leading the Easter parade will be picture hats, flattering wide-brimmed cartwheels that toss aside jauntiness in favor of femininity. It all started last October when two San Francisco manufacturers insisted on taking picture hats to Paris. They were Gerald Simon, creator of Meadowbrook Millinery, and Cyril Mills, who started as a receptionist in a milliner's studio only 2 years ago and now has a fabulous business of her own. Their idea was that in spite of what Paris decreed, the cartwheel afforded a balanced headdress for the flaring skirts. Simon claims that he searched a woman's subconscious, found that she resented a peanut-sized head topping the full silhouette of the new look. Well, that excursion into the subconscious paid off. Orders for the big hat started rolling into the manufacturers from the southern states last January. Now business is so rushing that the San Francisco Milliners Association has even adopted the slogan, "Put your shoulder to the cartwheel." Miss Mills says it shows you that American women will wear what is becoming to them, no matter what the stylists say, is a must. In America, the customer is always right. Well, we aren't so sure about the weatherman. However, he predicts fair weather over most of the country for Easter Sunday. But if you live in northern New England, western Montana, or sunny California, you'd better skip the cartwheel and get out your old gray bonnet and umbrella. This is Ruth Anderson in San Francisco.
Now around the world in a minute and a half. Washington, Congress got its way today with a war shipping ban against Soviet Russia, or at least the Truman administration advised Congress that all such shipments have been halted. For one thing, President Truman has clamped controls on the sale of airplane parts and other devices like radar, and Secretary of Commerce Harriman reports that only those exports from America the Army and Navy approve are being shipped out. He added, however, that we're not stopping all business with the Soviets. The reason? Because they have some raw materials we want and need badly, such as chrome and manganese. Those are materials that are vital to the manufacture of steel. Washington, the president's fact-finding board in the coal strike, operating under the new Taft-Hartley labor law, has given John L. Lewis the Easter holiday to decide whether to come before them and discuss the strike. If he decides to flaunt the law, says the fact-finding board, it might issue a court injunction or ask for a court injunction against him. Brazil, Indiana. Tornadic disturbances continue to harass the midsection of the country. The Indiana State Police report tonight that 8 persons have been killed by tornadoes in west central Indiana. In Oklahoma, the old terror of depression days reappeared, the dust storm. The dust blinded travelers in the northwestern part of the state, while the eastern half of Oklahoma started cleaning up behind storms that killed 13 persons. And that's what happened around the world today.
Morgan Beatty will return with some more late news. Mother, if you're planning a big dinner for Sunday, wouldn't it be a good idea to see about that supply of Alka-Seltzer? You know how some folks are. Good food is just naturally irresistible. And sometimes, of course, after eating, distress is the result. With Alka-Seltzer handy, though, you'll be prepared to offer relief and have your guests feeling better in almost no time at all. Yes, one of the things to do tomorrow, ladies, is get an extra package of Alka-Seltzer from your druggist.
Mothers, are you having trouble getting your children and your family to take their vitamins every day? Try giving them one-a-day brand multiple vitamin capsules. Each one-a-day brand multiple capsule contains all the vitamins for which the amount needed for grown-ups and children has been established. What's more, one capsule every day is all they take, and one-a-day brand multiple vitamin capsules are low in cost. A full 2-month supply for only $2. Ask your druggist for one-a-day brand vitamins good for growing children and adults. Remember, for vitamins the easy way, for vitamins the thrifty way, the brand you want is one a day.
Now, here again is Morgan Beatty.
And here are signs of our times. London. 2 British newspapers report tonight that the United States will ask Britain to keep her troops in Palestine at least until next August, instead of withdrawing in May, as the British now plan to do. New York. The New York Daily Mirror reports that Michael J. Quill, the president of the subway union, has resigned as head of the Greater New York CIO Council. His resignation, says the Mirror, averts the filing of charges against him that he's deliberately flouting the CIO's orders. The orders referred to, of course, are the CIO directives to its officials not to support Henry Wallace for president. The local New York Council, headed up to now by Mr. Quill, has refused so far to go along with the CIO and its anti-Wallace policy. New York. 2 Roosevelt children, Franklin and Elliot, are not for Truman, not for Wallace. They are for Eisenhower for president on the Democratic ticket. Good Friday in these United States does not call for a political truce as it does in Italy. And that's the news of the world. Until Monday at this same time, this is Morgan Beatty speaking for Alka-Seltzer, saying goodbye from the newsroom in Washington.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.